Well, good day and welcome to Observations, wherever you may be. With tongue planted firmly in cheek, he begins today by saying that that forces have conspired to bring us back to the topic that we thought we may have concluded a week ago on Observations, that of conspiracy. I say that because I was reading an email that I responded to this morning from Roy, who is the gentleman who is an MD and yet has a PhD in addition to being an MD, based upon his studies of mathematics and also I think biology, in addition to being a medical doctor, and we were talking about the realization that those that we were so concerned about acting so foolishly in the Facebook site, by the way, that no longer exists. I don't know if you know that or not, but Unpopular Truth doesn't exist anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, I've heard a couple of explanations as to why it doesn't exist. I think those at Unpopular Truth have are of the mindset that Facebook just shut them down because you can't be a bully and abusive to others on Facebook. They police that sort of thing. But anyway, they've been shut down. They lost 80% of their members. It's kind of like exposing the Ku Klux Klan, you know, when they were exposed in the almost in the immediate aftermath of being exposed for being as delusional as they were, they lost the vast preponderance of their membership. The same thing is true. So, what I was talking about is amongst a long email exchange, is that we don't need to worry about those who are continuing to promote conspiracy there being part of the covenant, or being so abusive there being part of the covenant, because conspiracy theory and fake news is a manifestation today of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it is the very definition of Babylon.
Yes.
To confuse by commingling. And with conspiracy theories, little tidbits of truth are commingled with copious amounts of lies. So Roy wrote the following email to me that he might have sent it out late yesterday. I received it this morning. It says, conspiracy theories and fake news are indeed a manifestation of Babylon today. They are not new, deception being one of the main drivers for most of man's history. Boy, isn't that the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is the case, whether it is the ease with which lies are spread with our modern technology, boy, that's the issue with social media today and the internet, or the result of the tsunami of information, both false and true, or the lack of education, most people are now no longer capable of differentiating between truth and lies. That's not just Roy's conclusion, it is my own. And I think it is a combination of those things.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more than just you two. Most
yes.
Everybody has come to that conclusion that has a brain that I don't
yeah.
know
yeah.
what is going on with these people.
Yeah. He gives an example. He says, you know, I doubt most pilot detainees, he's using this again with his tongue pressed into his cheek. He says, you know, I doubt most pilots would be in on the chemtrails idea, as I'm sure they have no way of knowing what's in the fuel that someone else pumps into their tanks. Or how would they know? How would they do a sniff test? Would they have a chemical lab in their cockpit? Has someone told them then all that what's going on, or are they just all going along with it? He says, you know, what I have just said now, he said, would be taken as evidence by the conspiracy theories that chemtrails are true. If considered in isolation, that does give some tepid support to their theory, but only by ignoring all other reasons why it can't be true.
And that's the key.
Then that's the key.
All the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's like saying government is bad, therefore government is promoting conspiracies. No, Yes, it is true that that I know that there it's a hydrocarbon that is going into the tanks of my my airplane. That it is a derivative of kerosene, and I know that it is ignited in the combustion part of my turbine, and it expands in the hot section. And that turns the turbine, which is then linked to the propeller on a turboprop, and that it is pushed out the back at just shy, well, right at 800 degrees Celsius. And the primary byproduct of the combustion of a hydrocarbon is water. That's the number one byproduct, and that cold air does not hold any significant amount of water, and that is how clouds and therefore a condensation trail is formed. It's so obvious. And, you know, we talked about this. So to say that, you know, I don't do a chemical analysis of my fuel would only provide support for chemtrails if you ignored all other evidence.
Right.
And even then, it doesn't prove it.
No.
Because it can't be proven because it isn't true. And this is our gets right to the heart of the problem. People just don't think. You know, the same would be true for the Twin Towers. You know, a steel frame building has not been brought down previously by fire, therefore the government must have exploded it. Building 7 was not hit by an airplane. Well, that's true. Therefore, it must have been a controlled demolition. No. There are, and we went through this with our last program, there are very clear scientific, engineering, analysis, metallurgical analysis of what transpired. And once the events were set into place, that was what's going to happen with the chain of events, cause and effect. Extremely straightforward, irrefutable explanations, and yet you have to eliminate all of that with proposed theories and motivations that cannot be proven to get to the preposterous claims. Now, the reason that this is important is severalfold. But part of it falls into the explanation, and by the way, Roy's email goes on and on, and I'm just going to now jump to my response. Evidence and reason has led us to the irrefutable conclusion that most people lack the will or ability to think effectively. Just observe them trying to drive a car, or listen to them try to explain why they believe a religion where their God on a stick dies. You know, consider the Manchester bomber who bombed little girls on behalf of his God because he sought revenge for the American bombing of Muslim girls. If one was wrong, how could the other be right?
Possible.
There are many reasons for the degradation in thinking. Some have been with us for a long time, while others are relatively new. Throughout history, religion and politics thrive by conditioning believers into dismissing all evidence critical of their illusions. Those who express views counter to either are labeled heretics or unpatriotic, and they're dealt with harshly. More recently, political correctness serves serves to place a price that is way too high on being discriminating and judgmental. And that price is being ostracized and condemned.
Mm-hmm.
And
social free speech.
Exactly. Social media has degraded a participant's ability to use words appropriately and write effectively. Boy, reading the posts that were in Unpopular Truth was absolutely proof of that. That people lost the ability to write effectively. Now, if you do not have the ability to use words appropriately and to string them together in an appropriate manner, it in turn destroys your ability to think, because we think in words, and impairs a person's capacity to convey even opinions convincingly. without training in rhetoric, logic, or debate, when such opinions are challenged, the opinionated gets frustrated and they lash out emotionally, personally attacking anyone and everyone who seeks to discredit what they believe. The current protestations nationally, and particularly in Europe and the United States, against hate serve as an example of this problem. Having read the posts of those who were confused and poisoned by moronic conspiracy theories and fake news at the no longer existing Facebook site, I saw firsthand just how dangerous they are, corrupting a person's ability to use their nesama, their conscience, their ability to think rationally. The faithful become emotional and abusive in their support for utter babble. The conclusion that most people are unwilling or incapable of critical thinking is based on observable evidence. It's deduced rationally. Further, a variety of reasons behind this condition can be substantiated. However, while there are an array of isolated and typically unrelated circumstances that suggest a conspiracy whereby this result was intended and that it was orchestrated and that a population was deliberately conditioned to be unthinking and thus malleable, a great deal of conjecture and speculation is required to make the case. In so doing, the proponent of conspiracy quickly tumbles into the unsubstantiated realm of belief. And the more passionately they strive to make their case, the more confused they become. Incapable of evaluating the evidence for or against their positions rationally, soon they trend towards being delusional, paranoid, emotional, defensive, and abusive. So while it is appropriate and necessary to consider the ill effects of large public institutions, whether they be religious, political, militaristic, media, or academic, trying to assess the motivations for collusion between these institutions is a fool's folly. One last thought. Roy concluded his letter, says, you know, I want to disagree with you. He says, you know, most people aren't like you, and I'm not like you. He says, I don't like to be shown that I'm wrong. And so what I wrote him is to say that the path to Yah begins by admitting that we have been wrong. Mm-hmm. Every step along the way necessitates
everything you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
Necessitates disavowing previous misconceptions. Mm-hmm. So you can't be part of the covenant family if you're opposed to admitting that you've been wrong. Now, when you read that this morning, because I CC'd you both on Roy's letter and my response to it, you shared two things with me before we began the show. One is that that in education, whether or not it was an orchestrated event or just here's cause and effect, you said that there was a proclamation in education, that was promoted with an almost religious zeal that led to this incapacity to think and that permeates education today. What was that called?
Well, it was philosophy, and it was called experimentalism, and they couldn't sell it because it was too stupid. You know, you're just a wave in the ocean, and you have to relate to things rather than build knowledge to be able to use your nesama, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was the philosopher, his name was Dewey,
mm-hmm.
he changed it in order to sell it, because you can't sell your book and move up in education unless you came up with a new great thing in the 60s. It's a lot like art. You had to come up with a new great thing. So he changed it to progressive education, and everybody said, well, you want to be progressive, don't you? What's wrong with you? So, honest to God, that was the catchphrase, and they sold it that way. And we were told. I went to Troy, and Troy was a school that was founded on creating teachers. It was an education school for producing educators. And you had to take the courses, and you had to, you know, as your part of your curriculum. It wasn't an option. It was you had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in California, you had to agree to teach that way and adopt that philosophy, or you couldn't get your diploma. I think it was on the master's level or the PhD, or both the master's and the PhD level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so out here, it was mandatory. In Alabama, it was just one of the courses you had to take, and you could do with whatever you wanted. But it is pervasive now. I still read a lot of stuff in education, and yes, indeed, it is permeated everything.
So progressive education was the education of political correctness, where right and wrong no longer mattered. In fact, being judgmental was actually inappropriate, as was being discriminating and discerning. Now it was what is collectively considered to be in the interests of those multiculturalism and of
that came from that same philosophy, or that philosophy was a result of that thinking. Sure.
Yeah, the greater society somehow is the beneficiary of a acceptable lie.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge was not keying. It was ability to deal with the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, what we've just described is not a conspiracy.
No.
No, Dewey came up with a for his own personal financial gain, and for his own advancement within his chosen profession, he came up with a theory that was erroneous. Promoted his theory, people accepted that theory, and it had a cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's no conspiracy there.
Craig, I was a friend of and student of Dr. Max Rafferty, who was the dean of our education department, and I used to illustrate his articles in magazines and stuff, and I knew him on a personal basis. And I asked him one time, I said, why do I have to teach this course? You don't agree with it. You wrote Why Johnny Can't Read, you know, bestseller, and all these books and articles.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we believe in a balanced program, where different views and different ideas can be come together, and we figure you have enough sense to make a difference and to know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's where we left it. And I said, well, okay, fair enough. You know, you can't have, he said, you have to have some liberal thinkers and some conservative thinkers and whatnot. And if you're pursuing truth, truth went out.
Yeah, you know, that's what you're, not thinkers, but bias. There are people with a liberal bias. There's people with a conservative bias. There's people with a politically correct bias. Right. There's people with a rational bias. You know, there's bias is something that is essential to our the way we process information. We process it through a bias. My personal bias, I've tried to condition my own perspective and bias so that it is as similar to that of the Torah and to Yahweh as possible. So I have a bias.
Sure.
And without a bias, it's very difficult for us to have to process information.
It's your filter.
It's my filter.
Point of view. Sure.
Right. It is my filter. I have tried to accept God's filter. I think it is the most reasonable filter. It's the filter that lends itself to understanding, where I think that man's filter, which is this a socialist, secular, humanist, politically correct filter, multicultural filter, is irrational. In that filter, you will accept wrong so long as it is popular.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. Now, that led you to a statement that several programs ago, when we were reviewing Chapter 8 on Zion, on signs posted along the way, I read the following statement. It's from Dabri HaYomim, which is Words of the Time, 1 Chronicles 29:18, and this is what it says. Yahweh, God of Abraham and Yishak, as well as Yisrael, our fathers. Then it says, I genuinely and emphatically want you to choose to focus and highly regard this forever, concerning the purpose, inclinations, and intentions of the thinking and judgment of your family, and prepare their ability to think, reason, and respond to you. So this is
right out of Yah's mouth.
Yeah, Dod being inspired by Yahweh to say the thing that I really want you to do more than anything else. This is the conclusion of a life's worth of study. Is I want you to genuinely and emphatically to choose to focus on and highly regard forever this, the purpose, the inclination, and the intention of thinking, of exercising good judgment on behalf of your family, and prepare their ability to think, to reason, and to respond to Yahweh. To you, it says here, but he's speaking to Yah.
To Yah is the implication, certainly.
Yeah.
If he's in the right frame of mind, they would be responding
right.
To Yah's.
Extraordinarily important to learn how to think, and yet there are a lot of factors in our society that have rendered the preponderance of people unable to exercise critical thinking.
Read the word of that you've translated thinking. I mean, to reason, rational thought, design, purposes, calculations, computations. I mean,
yes.
Think is more than,
yeah.
You know.
Machshak haba is the Hebrew word. Thinking, reasoning, rational thought, calculations, computations. We need to be able to think. And that is what we have surrendered. Now, before we get into the conspiracy that popped up when I was at lunch today, three articles from two of the news sources that I frequent the most often, and I want to speak to that conspiracy because it illustrates this incapacity to think. This is what Yahweh said about associating with and promoting conspiracies. He says, choose to be in an association with fearmongers yourself. Now, when it says choose to be in an association with fearmongers yourself, what Yahweh was not saying here that he's that your participation in a conspiracy. No. The fearmongers are the conspirators are not the fearmongers. The fearmongers are those who are causing people to be afraid of conspiracies. For example, so many of the conspiracy theory proponents, like Alex Jones, for example, will emphasize a cadre of advertisers offering doomsday products.
Yeah, well, you have to have some type of way to get away from, you know,
right.
Some kind of... Option.
Right. The conspiracy theories want you to be afraid of the exhaust of airplanes, of this myth called chemtrails. They want you to be afraid of vaccines. So this is choose to be in an association with these fearmongers yourself, you people. And you are choosing to become confused and broken, even paranoid. So if you're in an association, Facebook site on what was called Unpopular Truth, where their staple was promoting these fearsome conspiracies, God's saying if you do that, you are choosing to be confused. You're choosing to be broken. You're choosing to be paranoid. You're making a decision of your own free will to be dismayed and discouraged, to become psychotic, distrustful, frightened and anxious, scattered and destroyed. You're opting to fail and be annihilated, subjecting yourself to something dreadful and destructive. Now, why would anybody want to do that? But yet, people choose to be part of these sites that and groups that promote fear-mongering, the conspiracies. So then, elect of your own free will to listen. Think about what you hear, and respond thoughtfully. Azan, choose to hear what is being said so that you're properly informed. Everyone in distant places and faraway lands, choose to be free of all outside influences as a means to protect yourself from harm. Or, what's the alternative to that? What's the alternative to thinking, listening, being informed, making a rational analysis of the evidence? The antithesis of that is, become confused and paranoid.
Yeah.
Chadath. Becoming dismayed and discouraged, psychotic, scattered and destroyed. Choose to contemplate the motivations for a course of action based upon someone's interpretation and advice in feigned defiance of authority, and it will come to nullify the relationship, thereby harming and distancing you. You know, that's the whole thing about conspiracies. A conspiracy is this analysis of, well, Building 7 wasn't hit by an airplane, therefore because it had offices for government agencies, it must have been a controlled demolition because the government didn't want you to know that it was behind the destruction of the other two towers, World Trade Center 1 and 2.
Well, they didn't have a shredder.
So what...
Sorry.
Vaccines will kill you, and it's big pharma making children deliberately sick. Why? Because they love money. They're doing it for the money. So God says, choose to contemplate motivations for a course of action. Trying to get into somebody's head and to figure out why they're doing it based upon someone's interpretation and advice and feign defiance of authority, and it will come to nullify the relationship, harming you and distancing you. You can't be in the covenant if you're going to do that. You know, questioning Paul,
mm-hmm.
Somewhere between 12 and 1,300 pages.
Yeah.
I was asked so many times, well, why would Paul do this? Did he know that what he was doing was wrong? Answer, yes. And why would he do it? And my answer was, why does it matter? Why do you even care why he would do it? Why is his motivation relevant? Was my answer. 1,200 to 1,300 pages analyzing that what he said was wrong. And I wrote one paragraph on his motivations. And even then I said, what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
That's what God is saying here. Don't try to figure out people's motivations for whatever their agenda might be. Just analyze it. Come to understand what they've said and discern whether it's right or wrong. Their motivations are irrelevant. And this notion of focusing on the motivations for your conspiracy theory that the big pharma is deliberately making your children sick so they can make money. Well, that's the thing that's going to destroy your relationship with God. Now, I'm reading here from Yeshaya chapter 8. You know, that is what we're sharing here. Goes on to say, decide to make such statements, and it will not actually stand up, because Emmanuel, God is with us. Therefore, this is what Yahweh said to me in the manner of a strong and strengthening hand, correcting me while instructing me from walking in the way of these kinds of people. Now, before we read what God said to Yeshaya, Isaiah, correcting Yeshaya, because obviously Yeshaya got into saying something. Now, then this must be their motivation. This is their agenda. And God said, don't do that. And we'll hear what God said to Yeshaya in just a moment. But just think of this. Decide to make such statements. You know, the person that was the leader of this conspiracy Facebook site was when I presented this particular statement from Yahweh in Yeshaya 8, said all it says is don't participate in conspiracies. It didn't say don't expose them. What do you think debar means?
Debar is a word.
Yeah, but debar means to speak, and debar means word. As a noun, it's word, and as a verb, it means to speak. So debar, don't speak these kind of statements. He didn't say don't participate in the alleged conspiracy. He said don't make statements where you're trying to allege people's motivations and you become join a group of fearmongers. Don't make the statements. Any post advocating conspiracy would fall directly under this this condemnation where God's saying, don't do that.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
If you're a member of the family, Covenant mm-hmm. family, and you know, and you've studied for a while, and you know what's coming,
mm-hmm.
and you read the prophecies, there are so mm-hmm. many huge things coming that are so destructive
mm-hmm.
that even if any of these things, regardless of the motivation, were somewhat true or whatever, they pale to insignificance. For your life, you've got the 91st Psalm, and mm-hmm. you have a promise
right.
that we're celebrating, like,
right.
More mikros all year round.
Mm-hmm.
Why go there other than to say these people are lying? I understand Babylon's lying, and so there's Babylon. They're lying, and you can expose that, and I'm all for mm-hmm. you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But why does that become a lifestyle? I mean, why does that become your motive?
Because it creates an alternative reality
yeah.
where those who propose them present themselves as truthers, and everybody else is either being conned or being paid by these conspiratorial forces, being bought by them. And so the conspirator presents themselves as the source to be trusted, as the truth in what is now an alternative reality, a reality of their own. And so they gain control and popularity amongst people that are easy to deceive. It's no different than proposing a religion.
Yeah.
You create an artificial reality where you are considered to be the source of truth. Paul did it. Muhammad did it.
What a waste.
It is an utter waste. To do it, you can't be covenant. That's what God's saying here. Yeah. Not only can't you be covenant, you can't be rational.
But you're competing.
Right. Yeah, you're competing with God on your alternative reality. Okay.
That's right.
So therefore, this is what Yahweh said in the manner of a strong and strengthening hand. God has got Yahshua by the hand here and grabbing him tight and says, now, come on, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to instruct you and teach you, guide you from walking in the way of these kinds of people, these conspiracy theorists. I'm going to tell you why I don't want you associated with them. And it's not he's not talking about walking in the way of the, you know, he's got plenty of places where he says don't you know, be militaristic, don't be religious, don't be political. No, this time he's saying I don't want you to be advancing the agenda of those who are fearmongers, of the conspiracy theorists. So he says then, do not make a habit of conveying as a conspiracy, therefore, anything that they continually refer to as one of these conspiracies, so as to wonder about them or be inspired by them. You should neither respect nor fear them, and do not be shaken or disturbed by them. That's Yeshaya 8,
mm-hmm.
I think 8 through 12.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how could you be any more definite than this? God says, I do not want you to make a habit of conveying. And this is choose not to communicate or express in words on an ongoing basis. Never decide to speak of, declare, or suggest so as to continually infer, do not routinely designate something as or improperly promote, call imperfect, paragogic, non-active, which that means from a grammatical point of view in Hebrew. God is saying, what he's saying is you should take as act, as actual and genuine, the imperfect, on a, don't do this on a habitual or ongoing basis. Paragogic means under the auspices of free will, mm-hmm. expressed in the second person. So do not make a habit of choosing to convey as a conspiracy, a cashier, anything related to tying things together in a closely associated thread to show people conspiring together in a united way in an attempt to bind or harm others. Any act of consciously joining together as a planned scheme of defiance in an attempt to restore a political system, establish a new government, or as a treasonous act, or to impose a religion, thereby creating or trying to demonstrate the illegal and appropriate motivation and intent of a coordinated group of conspirators. From Kashar, to bind and tie things together in a conspiratorial plot perpetrated by an alliance. Do not make a habit of conveying as a conspiracy, therefore, anything and everything that they continually refer to as one of these conspiracies.
I didn't have that easy to pull up. I mean, I'm on my piles of things. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And which, as you know, it'll tell you, what, of course, Isaiah, most 99% of it is available to mm-hmm. us through the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. But it's even the English translation in this, do not call a conspiracy everything that the people call a conspiracy, and don't revere and awe it, these things.
Right.
So,
you're right.
You know, it's all over the place. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, this happened to be one of the passages
yeah.
where if I didn't go into the detail and translate every word, If I didn't go to the Dead Sea Scrolls, no, there was a lot in this passage that benefited from the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's a lot in this passage that benefited from amplification and accurate translation.
Oh, yeah.
But if you were to read this one from any just ordinary English translation,
right,
you get it.
Can't escape it.
Do not promote conspiracies. And God stated why you should not do it. He says at the beginning of the statement, because if you are one of those advocating and promoting conspiracies, you're going to become psychotic. You're going to become delusional. You're going to suffer dreadful consequences. And ultimately, you're going to squander your soul. You're going to cease to exist.
Well, if you feed your soul with these words, it's the same old story. You know, what you feed your soul, what words you feed your soul with, that's what it'll become.
Right. Well, you know, one of the reasons for this is that God recognizes that throughout time, conspiracies cause people to lose their ability to think rationally. There is an appeal to conspiracy, and we're going to go into this program. We're going to talk about the vaccine conspiracy. It is so easy to disprove. It is so obviously false that to believe it, to promote it, a person has to surrender their capacity to be rational. That's the only way to believe it. And God says, if you do that, bad things are going to happen. Not only are you going to become paranoid, not only are you going to become psychotic when you do that, you are never going to benefit from a relationship with me.
Wow.
Because you can only approach him by examining the evidence and making a rational, thoughtful decision. Now, one of the reasons that God doesn't like conspiracy is probably the worst conspiracy, the single biggest, most pervasive conspiracy of all time is anti-Semitic conspiracies. The Jews are in control of the world. They're plotting against all other races. And that whether it's Jewish bankers or the protocols of the elders of Zion, some other, Jews own the media, Jews own the banks, Jews own retail, Jews are plotting evil and they're in control of the world.
Well, they're so small a population, they certainly are busy, though. That's
yeah. I mean, that was Hitler's theme, that Germany lost World War One, and that Germans were impoverished because of evil Jews plotting against them. Now, that's conspiracy cost 6 million Jews their lives, yeah. A million of them under the age of 5 years old. Wasn't harmless.
No.
Even today, that conspiracy is manifest in the world's largest and second largest religions. Christianity is a conspiracy against all things Jewish. Mm-hmm. Hebrew language, Yisrael, Jews. Yeah. Jews killed Jesus. It's a conspiracy.
Well,
yeah.
They decided the Hyksos, the Amalekites, were the Jews.
Yeah.
They changed that in the history books way back.
Oh, yeah.
Greek times.
Yeah. So Christianity is a conspiracy against Jews and Judaism and all things Jewish. And Islam is purely a conspiracy against Yahweh's chosen people. His promised land, and his Hebrew revelations. So God knew that advocating these conspiracies was going to be something so dreadful that that those who did so would be forever estranged from his company.
Now, the things you're noting are things that are provable, not just random made-up stuff. I mean,
the protocols of the elders of Zion that was promoted by the Soviets and then also promoted by Adolf Hitler is an absolute, complete, and utter fraud and easily demonstrable as such.
Right.
This notion that Paul created Christianity out of a hatred for his own people. You just read his letters.
Yeah.
The fact that Islam is the most anti-Semitic doctrine ever promoted by humanity, the only thing that comes close to it would be Hitler's Mein Kampf, that would be close to the Quran in terms of anti-Semitism. Read it! Now, does it matter why Muhammad hated Jews? No. I can tell you why he did, but does it matter? No. Does it matter why Paul hated his own people? No. Now, one of the conspiracies that just jumped up and hit me, and we just mentioned it briefly a week ago, is the conspiracy on vaccines. And we won't probably finish it today. And it's so obvious that the conspiracy on vaccines is not only a fraud, but that it's deadly and that it has a consequence, and that being opposed to vaccines and claiming that they're a plot by Big Pharma to kill children to make money isn't just innocent stupidity. It cost the lives of millions of children. You know, just since the time that Wakefield promoted this myth for financial gain. And in fact, we'll go through what the fraud that was involved in that. Over that period of time, on average, between 125,000 and 250,000 children under the age of five have lost their lives simply because they were not immunized to the measles vaccine. This fear of immunizing children with the measles vaccine is today the single largest cause of death for children under the age of five. Now, that's not an innocent belief. That is one that has a direct cause and effect on the lives of others. So today I was reading a BBC article, and it said that both German and Italian schools both have been, you know, inundated with Muslims who are particularly irrational in this regard, that are now prohibiting students who are not immunized, particularly from measles and mumps, because their poor choices are negatively affecting the lives of others, putting them at risk. This spring saw the first death from measles in the United States in 10 years. Measles infections are at their highest level since the disease was supposedly eradicated. Well, the reason that measles is back is because between 10 and 20% in certain states and in certain population centers, it's worse in places like in Seattle, Washington, and in Minnesota, and Michigan, and in Texas for different reasons. Mostly in faith-based communities, Muslims and fundamentalist Christians who have been hoodwinked into, beguiled into believing that there is some kind of connection between the measles vaccine and not only autism, but a number of other complications. And it's not true. More and more parents, are refusing to immunize their children. The influence of a loose group of fringe campaigners against immunization called the anti-vaxxers, as they are known, has been spreading. And with it, disease. Just as God says that religion is a disease, conspiracy is a disease, and it's a deadly one. Vaccines can cause adverse reactions in a small number of people. We went over that. The number one consequence of adverse reaction to the measles vaccine is encephalitis, swelling of the brain. 1 in 83,000 get it. Do you know how many children under the age of 5 have been spared in the last 15 years because of the measles vaccine?
No, sir, but I think you told me not too long ago.
2 million.
And that's a big number.
2 million. In fact, I don't think it's 2 million. I'm trying to think of it now. I think it's 20 million. It's actually the number. It's 20 million. And yet 1 in 83,000 has an adverse effect. You know what the number one non-deadly effect of the measles is? Encephalitis, swelling of the brain. And it when measles was rampant, it was a very substantial reason that the children were had to be institutionalized, and they were became mentally handicapped, was because of the consequence of the encephalitis aspect, symptom of the measles.
When I grew up, a lot of people had measles. I had measles and stuff, and it was...
Yeah.
It wasn't such a thing. Is it worse now? I mean,
we 1980 was when we started seriously vaccinating people against the measles. In fact, here's the numbers exactly. 2015, 134,000 deaths worldwide due to measles. These are children who were either not vaccinated or in a low percentage vaccinated environment worldwide. 134,000 in 2015. 1980 was when we began to aggressively vaccinate against the measles virus. 2.6 million deaths in 1980 alone. Now, that's not the number of people that lost their minds, that became mentally handicapped, that had to be institutionalized because of one of the symptoms. That's just death. 2.6 million. In the past 15 years, you know, I was right, 20 million lives have been spared. Almost all of them of children under 5. And yet, the anti-vaxxers will tell you that that Big Pharma, which doesn't exist, by the way, is deliberately harming children for profit. When in fact, over the last 15 years, just from this one vaccine, 20 million lives of children under the age of five have been spared. And can you imagine being any further from being wrong? Now, there's a lot of doctor's offices. My granddaughter's physician, pediatrician, for example, is one of them. If your child is not does not keep up with vaccines, they won't allow you to come into their office. And the reason they won't is it's not fair to the other patients. Just as the schools in Germany and Italy are saying, yeah, you as a parent, you choose that you're not going to get your child vaccinated. That's your choice. But understand that you're not going to be allowed into public institutions with that child. My youngest son's going to law school. One of the things he has to demonstrate to be part of that class is that he was immunized, that he received his vaccines.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not fair to the rest of the students of the class.
I had about 10 or 12 shots we had to take just to move to Australia as a kid.
Yeah.
The whole family. I mean, they wouldn't let you in.
Right.
So,
now, this deal on the vaccine is just really interesting. There was a paper published in February 1998, back in 1998, in The Lancet. And it said that there was a group of parents who brought 12 children to a hospital in North London in England. The parents said that their child was given the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and within 14 days, eight of the family said that their child had developed the first signs of autism. And that there was also a new inflammatory bowel disease, which was first diagnosed among these same children. Now, the story broke. The gentleman, Wakefield, Andrew Wakefield, that led the, I'll put in air quotes, study, went on a, did a press conference when he said, oh boy, this proves that you should not give the MMR vaccine and that there's a link between the MMR vaccine and autism and what later became known as Crohn's disease. And, but guess what? He not only fabricated the test. He did so for financial gain. You know, the of the 12 children that were quote unquote evaluated, that just so happened to have come to the hospital to have their children receive this vaccine, and then reported the first signs of autism. That's not how he found them. No, there was a law firm that wanted to promote a class action suit against the manufacturer of the MMR vaccine. And so that law firm went to, ran ads to see if they could find families that were willing to join in the class action suit. And that's how the 12 were found. And that when Wakefield did his tests on these 12. The 12 were provided to him by the law firm, and that the law firm paid Wakefield £400,000 to try to prove the link.
Thank you. You've skewed your test.
Yeah, and then the graduate student that was actually doing the analysis said, oh, every time we found that there was no link, Wakefield just ignored it. Because he not only had been paid by the law firm to attest that there was a link, but he, at the same time of his announcement, he filed a patent for a singular vaccine that only has measles in it and removes the other two, and that that his patent, from that patent, should the MMR vaccine be somehow called into question by his research, he would make a fortune. So all of the these anti-vaxxers say that, oh no, it's Big Pharma that is in collusion to make your child sick so they can make money. And they're saying that they're the great hero of their movement is Wakefield, when in fact Wakefield was the one who was accepting bribes to fabricate his findings. And this is not a secret. All you have to do is Google Andrew Wakefield. Read the Wikipedia article on him. It's all there. Every bit of the findings. There was a gentleman, his last name is, Brian Deere, last name Deere. He was the one that said, you know, I went to interview one of those families, and they said, their story was absolutely nothing like what the article in Lancet claimed. It was the antithesis of it. And then I found the story that the law firm that had contacted the family and recruited them to be part of the class action suit. And then he went on to find how much they had paid him. And soon the evidence was turned over to the Medical Review Board in Great Britain, and they removed Wakefield's medical license.
Good for them.
And the periodical that published his report not only retracted it and said it was absolutely unfounded and untrue, and that the research was fraudulent, and that Wakefield lied. They said we have subsequently sponsored additional research, and no one can correlate any of his findings.
Wow, that's pretty powerful.
It's all there, and yet the anti-vaxxers still claim that he's their hero. They still claim that there's a link, even in the website that we denounced last week. Two of the women were saying, "You want my proof? Here's my proof. I had a child, or I know a child that had a vaccine, and they got Alzheimer's, and therefore that's proof." No. Yeah, autism. I'm sorry, autism. Autism, and they. It's just like the myth that remember how it was promoted in Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's, that if you used aluminum cookware, you were more susceptible to Alzheimer's.
I don't remember that one, but
yeah, oh, I was one
you
of them.
Cook with a lot of aluminum stuff.
Oh, goodness, untrue. But here they're still promoting it, and it has been absolutely universally debunked. So I did a quick study. I found, okay, so is there such thing as big pharma? Are there a handful of companies, as there are in most industries, that are dominant? And what percentage of pharmaceutical sales are vaccines? First of all, you know what percentage of pharmaceutical sales are represented by vaccines?
I imagine it's very small.
Now, if it was like 80%, maybe they would have a claim. No, it's between 2 and 3%.
That's.
Do you know of the things that are profitable for pharmaceutical companies? You know what the least profitable is? Run-of-the-mill vaccines. There are some new vaccines that are very profitable. You know, they've come up with vaccines for everything from uterine type cancers in women to hepatitis.
I know HPV. HPV is a big one.
Yes, that's HPV. Recent. Yeah, and the profitability on the most recent vaccines, which just in the last 5 years, is significant. Well, they've spent a fortune developing them, but the profits are so low on run-of-the-mill kind of vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella, those kinds of vaccines, that 20 years ago, 15 years ago, they couldn't get supply. There wasn't enough to even justify supply. Most of the pharmaceutical companies were moving out of them as opposed to trying to pursue them. The antithesis of what's claimed by the anti-vaccine group.
Then after about 20 years, it becomes public domain anyway, so it means very hard to the price.
That is a huge part of it. We'll return and continue with this story next week.